We are beginning a new sermon series for the month of February, where we're looking at the book of 2 Timothy, which is Paul's letter to a young pastor. It is a pastoral epistle. What that means is it's written to a pastor, as opposed to, say, the book of Romans or the book of 1 or 2 Corinthians, which were written to churches, one at Rome or at Corinth. These were written to individual people. Timothy was somebody who was with Paul for quite a while. They traveled together. In fact, when Paul set foot on the continent of Europe to take the gospel there from Asia, Timothy was right there beside him. And so Paul had a great partner and a friend in Timothy as these early churches were being formed. Churches, by the way, during this time were not structures with institutional hierarchy and memories. They were small groups of believers gathered together, meeting in homes. And so Timothy was one of those early pastors. Paul came to see Timothy as a beloved and faithful helper in Christ. In fact, at the end of this book of 2 Timothy, you hear Paul writing from jail where it's kind of cold. And so he says, "Timothy, by the way, I left my heavy cloak in Troas. Would you please bring it to me along with my favorite books and parchments?" And so you see there's a deep relationship. Well, so in this letter, and what you'll hear at the beginning as Jody starts reading, is this intimate relationship that they have, this deep caring from Paul towards Timothy. And so I want you to hear not only his deep affection and caring for Timothy, but also there's a note of worry. For all of the burdens that Timothy is bearing, you'll hear Paul kind of worried about that. And so listen to how Paul is going to speak to this young man in this day and age. Jody.
Today's scripture reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, faith that lived first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For that reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day that which I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So I have in my office several commentaries, scripture that I like to use and that I like to look at. And so I always turn to those first when I'm starting a new book of the Bible in scripture to preach on. However, sometimes I've discovered through Googling that I can learn so much more, that I can find commentaries that I don't have in my Bible, some that are 200 years old and some that may be 20 days old. You never know what you're going to find. And so I find that it enhances my teaching. So I share that with you because this week, the phrase that really has spoken to me is rekindle the gift of God, rekindle the flame. And what I have learned is that if you Google the phrase rekindle the flame, that you actually don't find anything that has to do with scripture. And so for this Valentine's Day, to share with you some of what I saw about how to rekindle the flame, here's a little bit of it. Things I want to do with you. I thought this was pretty cute. Get coffee, take dumb pictures, watch movies, go on long walks, sing stupid songs, hold hands, wake up to see the sunrise, travel to somewhere new, listen to nice music, watch the sunset, and everything all over again. So if you want to rekindle the flame in your relationships, there you go. Well, that was a freebie, but I want to really talk about how it is that we rekindle the flame, because that's what Paul is speaking to Timothy about. He says, I want you to rekindle the flame. Why would Paul say that to Timothy? Why would Paul say that to him? That's what I want to look at with you this morning. In the scripture passage that you already heard, we learn this about Timothy when Paul said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. I love the shout out to mothers and grandmothers. My goodness, next Mother's Day that I'm preaching, I want to use that passage. It teaches us that Timothy did not own his faith because he knew Jesus himself. This was fairly new to the early church because it's early enough that a lot of people still had known Jesus. It wasn't that Timothy was able to say, you know, one day I was listening to Jesus teach and there were a lot of people there and they got hungry and there was no food, but we gathered together what we had, Jesus blessed it, and there was more than enough. No, instead, Timothy would be teaching his young church, you know, I have heard about the time when Jesus fed 5,000 people miraculously. And there's a big difference there. The church was having to learn how to be the church with people who did not know about Jesus firsthand, but who were hearing about Jesus through reports of others. And so that was a shift in how they would learn and teach and share. But the first thing I hear out of that, though, is the importance of having the home be a place where that is shared, where that faith is shared. Eunice, Lois, his mother, his grandmother. Timothy was probably the first third-generation Christian because Jesus hadn't been gone all that long, and they brought him up in the faith. And so the first thing I hope you hear is for all of you that are raising children in the faith, what a wonderful thing you're doing. And the times that it is hard and the times that it doesn't seem to be paying off, keep doing it. Keep remaining faithful because this generation needs homes where Christ is being taught and proclaimed and lived out. It may be that you bring your children or grandchildren to church. It may be that you share Bible stories with them, that you bless the meals before you eat. You may have family devotionals together every night or perhaps in particular seasons like Lent or Advent. Whatever you're doing, keep on doing it and do more because it makes a huge difference. The most recent statistics that I have seen indicate that for children who grow up in homes without any faith being part of their homes, they have about a 5% chance of being involved in a church when they become adults. So for all the parents who say, well, I'm just going to let my children find their own faith because it'll be more authentic then because they really will find it for themselves. No, do your part to help your child know about the faith, whether it's your child or your grandchild. I also want to encourage you that when your children grow up and claim their own faith, if it is not a faith that looks just like yours, celebrate that God is still at work in them. Excuse me. And to those whose children do not appear to have a faith, trust God that the seeds that you planted will one day blossom. And so simply continue to pray and trust God for them. So the first thing I hear about Timothy is how important it is to have faith be a part of our homes. But the second thing is equally important, because there is a danger in being a cradle Christian, somebody who's always known Jesus, who's never had a time in their life where they didn't know Jesus because they always have been part of church or faith family. A quick poll, if you are what you would consider a cradle Christian, as I've defined it, somebody who always has had a knowledge and awareness of Jesus Christ in your life, would you just raise your hand? Look around. That's thank you. You see that, and that again reminds us how important it is to raise people in the faith. It also reminds us of all the different ways that God speaks to us, whether it be from birth or through powerful life-changing experiences later in our life when we didn't know. Both of those and all the other ways in between are ways that we can come to know Jesus Christ. But there is a danger for us cradle Christians, and that's this. I have my mother's nose, I have my father's kind of curly hair, and then I have the faith that I was raised in. So I take my nose for granted, I take my hair for granted, and faith can get taken for granted too. Because if there is not a time in your life where you did not know the love of Jesus Christ, then you forget how important that love is. And so I believe that that's part of why in this passage, Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you. You see, if we live our lives as cradle Christians, if faith has always been a part of who we are, then we can take it for granted. And that ember of faith that lives within us needs to be rekindled, because we forget. We forget how important and precious it is. So I believe that's one of the reasons why Paul is telling Timothy to rekindle his faith. But I think there's something else too, because I still wonder why, when Timothy, who is one of Paul's most faithful people, why of all people would Paul need to tell Timothy to rekindle his faith? Timothy was a hard worker. I told you that when Paul first went to the continent of Europe with the intent of spreading the gospel and starting churches, Timothy was right by his side. You may not know that when Paul had problem churches that needed a little help, he would send Timothy to take care of the problem churches. Timothy was a hard worker. He was his go-to guy. Why would he need to rekindle his faith? Well, maybe because he was the hard worker and the go-to guy. You know, it is possible. I have heard other places that it is possible that when you work too hard at the church, when you're the one that gets called when the pipes are leaking, or the bulletins need folding, or the kids need teaching, or the front door needs greeting, or all of those other things that help make us a church, that when you get called too often, you might get a little burnt out. Now, I know that's other places and not here, okay, but it can happen. And Timothy, whose fire and zeal for the Lord burned so brightly, was at risk of being burnt out. And so we hear Paul say to him, rekindle the gift of God. You who were a cradle Christian, you who have worked so hard for me, don't let those embers burn out, but rekindle the gift of God that is within you. And if that was true for Timothy, then you better believe that we are all at risk of the same thing, and that we all have times where we need that gift to be rekindled. So how do you take an ember and turn it into fire? How do you turn an ember into fire? Well, I want to show you a video so that we can learn that from Ray Mears in Bushcraft.
When we first light it, the very thrust,
You missed the first part where he started just with a knife and a shoelace. Just out of curiosity, have any of you ever kindled fire that way? Okay, I see a few Boy Scouts in here. I'm impressed. All right, so he had the ember. And then how did he turn the ember into flame? He blew on it, right? And then you heard him say, let's let the wind do it. And between the breath and the wind, that ember turned into that beautiful flame that would light a fire. All right, so in Scripture, when we hear about wind and we hear about breath of God, what is that talking about? Holy Spirit. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit. And I think just as it's true in that video, it's true in our own lives too. That when we are at danger of burnout, or when we are taking our faith for granted, we still have that ember within us, but it needs to be rekindled, and the breath of the Holy Spirit will come and rekindle it for us and renew us and give us what we need to continue to live the life of faith that we have. We hear it again and again in Scripture, that need to continue to be restored and renewed in the book of Lamentations. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. Rekindle, renew, restore. You hear that we all need that, the Holy Spirit to come into us. And why? Why do we need to burn brightly? Paul continues. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Then do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling. And the calling is to share the love of God. You see, we're called not to be ashamed, and to not be ashamed of the gospel isn't then to become prideful, but it is to be able to say, I am who I am, and I am loved the way I am loved, not because of anything I have done, but because of everything that God has done. And when we have that spark of God kindled into that beautiful flame, then we're able to proclaim that. We're able to share the love with the world in a world that needs it. And so light and warmth spread because of it. And what happens then when we are all burning brightly with the love of God? I do not often use the book of discipline in sermons, but there is something out of a section on the faithful ministry that I want to share with you. The people of God, who are the church made manifest in the world, must convince the world of the reality of the gospel or leave it unconvinced. There can be no evasion or delegation of this responsibility. The church is either faithful as a witnessing and serving community, or it loses its vitality and its impact on an unbelieving world. If our spark goes out as a church, then the world remains unconvinced, and we have no vitality and impact on a world that needs it. But if we are able to kindle our flame, then we are able to be faithful and witness and serve to a world that needs that love so desperately. So rekindle the flame that is within you. Allow it to burn brightly so that those around you may see light and feel warmth, the light and warmth that comes from God. Now, we've been speaking so far about what you can do with a little bit of wood, a pocket knife, and a shoelace. What can we do? What can God do? Not with wood and pocket knife and shoelace, but with bread and grape juice. Because today we get to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. John Wesley believed it was a converting sacrament. I do too. That as we come forward and share in the bread and in the cup, that it's our time to allow Christ to touch us. That we're able to allow Christ to rekindle in us the flame. That after we've received the elements and we kneel in prayer at the communion rail, that in that time we are able to once again give ourselves to God and to open ourselves for that flame to be renewed. You see, I don't know exactly where you are, but I have a hunch that there are a few of you that have been cradle Christians, and that faith has always been there, but it's been easy to take for granted. And you're ready to renew that and make that into something powerful that will change you in ways that you kind of remember back when, but it's been too long. There may be others who are just kind of burned out, maybe from church work, but maybe from life, because life can be tough. Taking care of kids takes a lot out of you. Working takes a lot out of you. All the myriad responsibilities in your world take a lot out of you, and you get tired and burned out. And faith seems like kind of the bottom of the stack. And it may be that as you share in communion today and you lift simply that part of your life to God, that God will rekindle in you a new energy, a new flame, a new desire to love and serve God that makes the rest of your life fall into place. I don't know exactly where in your life you need that place of rekindling, but I know this, that God is faithful and just. And when we bring ourselves forward today to share in this gift of communion, Christ will meet us there, exactly where we are, and be with us and take us exactly where we need to be. Exactly. So may the flame be rekindled in all of us. Let us pray together. O Christ, kindle your flame anew in us one more time. Give us new light, new hope, new faith that we may serve you with faith, hope, and love into a world that needs that so desperately. Rekindle again in us, O Christ, the flame of your love. Amen.